Well, hey everyone. Welcome to Blackhawk Church this morning. My name is Joel. I'm one of the pastors on staff. If you're joining us online or here in the room, it's so good to worship with you. Would you stand if you're in the room? And if you're able, we would love to sing out praises to our God together. Let's worship Him.
Until I lay my head. of the goodness of God.
Father, all of our lives, God, you have been faithful. Great is your faithfulness to us. Your love, your grace, your mercy, your goodness. It goes on and on and on until, Lord, that is why we're here today and we're declaring that we will sing of your mercy. Sing of your faithfulness. Sing of your goodness. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough. If I had 10,000 hands, I could not clap them enough. Because you are so good. Lord, even in those times when I was not even aware that you were watching over me, watching over us, protecting us, keeping us from dangers seen and unseen. God, we worship you today. We love you. We thank you. We lift you up. We praise you. This is what you call for, that we will lift you, that we will trust you. Our praise is a reflection of that trust. And God, we thank you. Continue to empower us, continue to strengthen us, to continue to encourage our hearts, oh God, that we will always look to you and remember that you are faithful and you have always been. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to Blackhawk. My name is Tiffany, and I'm one of the pastors on staff. You guys can go ahead and grab your seats. I know in this season, there are many of you who are joining us for the very first time, whether that be online, checking us out, or here in the room. So if that's you, I just want to say, hey, we are glad that you're with us this morning. We hope that you enjoy your time together. And actually, today is a great day to be visiting because right after the service, we're going to have something called Braiderway on the Lawn. We had it a few weeks ago. Maybe you saw it. Maybe you visited. We had some like blow up Gaga ball courts out there and some wobble balls that were like flying down the street. So it was a great time. And so we're going to be doing another one today. This is a great time, whether that if this is your first time here or if you've been here for 20 years, our goal is to provide some space for us to connect, for us to get to know one another, to reconnect with people maybe you haven't connected with in a while. So we hope that you'll be joining us for that. There'll be some cool treats out there, some lawn games. So it should be pretty fun. If for some reason you can't come today, we're actually going to be doing it again next week. So put on your calendars, bring a family member, a friend, bring your kids. We'd love to have you out there. All right, well, today we are going to be finishing up our work series. So over the past few weeks, we've been talking about kind of different ways that our work and our faith have interacted with one another. And so today, Pastor Matt is going to be taking us over the finish line. So with that, I'll hand it off to him.
Well, hey, welcome everybody to Blackhawk Church. Welcome Blackhawk family here in the room. So glad you all are here. Welcome to everyone who is joining us online right now, as well as everyone in our sites and venues. So that is, man, Blackhawk Downtown. What's up, Blackhawk Fitchburg? How's it going, Gospel Fusion? What is up, Blackhawk Traditions? To Blackhawk Chinese Ministry, we are so glad that you all are with us and joining us today. To my Chinese-speaking friends, Dijonzi Mei Ping An, and to all of my Spanish-speaking friends, bienvenidos a Blackhawk. We are one church in a lot of different locations, and it's good to be able just to be together as a family this way. So we are in week four of a short little four-week series that we have been doing this summer on the subject of work, where we have been taking a look at how our faith life and our work life interact with one another. Everything within our faith should affect the work that we do in our lives, regardless within that work if we get a paycheck for it or not. We are all called to be workers. God has work for all of us to do, and our relationship with him really should affect all aspects of it. And y'all, I'm super excited for you to be able to be a part of this particular talk today. I'm super excited for you to hear from the person who is going to come up and share with us in just a minute, because this person has all kinds of work experience. I mean, literally from entry-level positions all the way up to being the president, actually, of a very large company. But on top of that, this person actually preaches and teaches around Black Hawk Church, actually more than any of us who you know who are on the teaching team. And yet the reality is the majority of you probably have never heard this person teach. Have I got you just a little bit intrigued on who it is that you're gonna be hearing from today? So I'd love for you, at really all sites, all venues, everyone here in the room to join me right now in welcoming to the stage Mr. Charles Huang, our pastor of Black Hawk Chinese Ministry. Hey, man. Good to see you. Charles, thanks so much for being here. You know, and I love being able to tell people this perspective that you teach around here more than anybody else. I mean, you preach way more often than me or Charles, you or Chris or any of us, because pretty much every week here at Brader Way, across the hall from this room right here in our Black Hawk Chinese ministry, You're preaching in Mandarin. And so pretty much every week, but it is so good to be able to be here in this room and get a chance to hear from you. So the reality is, I think that for a lot of us, people haven't heard you teach before, and most likely they don't even know much of your story. So can you just take a minute just to give people just a brief snapshot of you and your family?
Sure, yeah. Hi, everybody. So my name is Charles Huang, and my wife Anita and I, we're both originally from Taiwan, and we have two kids. Caitlin is gonna be a senior in high school, and Kaysen is gonna be a junior in high school. So we have a picture of them.
Wow. That's your Christmas card right there, isn't it? So, Charles, you are looking in rare form there, buddy.
Right.
So I think maybe you should dress that way around here a little more often.
Maybe. That's the only picture I got permission from the kids to use. So I'm kind of stuck with it. Yeah.
That's good. So, okay. With your story and everything it is about you, another thing that people don't know a lot about here at all really is Black Hawk Chinese Ministry.
Right.
We know that we have a Chinese ministry, but don't know much about what goes on with it. Can you fill people in just a little bit?
Sure. So BCM, which is Black Hawk Chinese Ministry, we started in 2015, and it was led by Pastor Charles Yu. So we call him OC.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on. Okay. Let's explain that to everybody. So when you are a part of a church that has a particular ministry, like our Chinese ministry, and we have had two pastors who have overseen that, both who have the name Charles and are still on staff, it gets a little confusing. So Charles Huang and Charles Yu came up with this idea to differentiate between the two of them, where one would be NC and the other would be OC. So Charles Huang became NC, known as New Charles, which meant that Charles Yu was OC, meaning Old Charles. Exactly. So this week we get to hear from NC. Next week you get to hear from OC. So there you go. A little inside lingo there for Blackhawk staff.
Yeah, so OC started it in 2015, and then I came on board in 2017, and now we have about 70 people and about 8 life groups, and it's really like a small church feel, and it's really good. Something I really appreciate and I'm super grateful for is that we have a really high percentage of people actively serving in some sort of capacity. And we also have a visiting scholars ministry. We also have college students ministry. That's all in Upper House, which is, you know, where Black Hawk Downtown meets. And the really cool thing that I like to mention is we're not just Chinese people. We have Americans, we have Brazilians, we have Koreans. So I thought that was really cool. And one thing of, that throughout COVID, I think our people really bonded. So I'm super grateful for that. And so our life groups really, really flourished. And one last cool thing is that throughout COVID and even now, we have people from multiple regions in the world watching our Black Hawk Mandarin services online.
That's so amazing. You know, I mean, one thing that we've talked about around here is the amount of people from other areas of the world who are joining us for these services right now, and yet our Mandarin services, which are also online, people from all around the world. That's just incredible seeing the way that God works. So, okay, Charles, part of your story, you are from Taiwan, and here in the United States, and predominantly at Black Hawk Church, everyone knows you as a pastor. So, but the community there in Taiwan, your home, people don't know you this way. So can you fill everyone in a little bit more on your story?
Sure. So I grew up in a Christian family. And then in high school, my parents, they became majority shareholders of this fast food chain. So I worked there as a summer job during my high school days. And then, started in kitchen work with washing lettuce, cutting tomatoes, flipping burgers, scrubbing toilets, all sorts of things like that. And then I went off to college in Japan, and then later to grad school here in the United States. And then I became a software programmer and IT technical consultant. So I was in the IT industry for 5 years, first for an American company that was based in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then for a German company.
Okay, all right. So I want to pause you there for just a minute, because you moved quickly past this whole fast food restaurant thing, which actually is a big part of your story. So how many of you, all sites and venues, have heard of the fast food restaurant Moss Burger? Capital M, capital O, capital S, Burger. Yeah, not a single hand in this room, and I'm guessing that's true for other sites and venues. This is a fast food restaurant that started in Japan. But the interesting thing was your parents then brought that fast food restaurant from Japan to Taiwan, and it kind of became a big deal. In fact, to this date now, there are over 1,700 Moss Burger locations. You can see a picture right now. Moss Burger locations in Japan, in Taiwan, as well as other parts of East Asia. Now, just to give context of that, that's double the amount of Culver's that we have here, so in the United States. Double the amount. In fact, it's the second, tell me if I have this right, the second largest fast food chain in Japan and Taiwan behind McDonald's. Right. So that's just unbelievable. Okay, and where did the name Moss Burger come from?
I know that sounds weird, but it's M-O-S. It's abbreviation for mountain, ocean, and sun. So it's founded by three nature-loving people.
That's all right. Okay, and here's the thing that you all need to know, because when you get to know Charles, when you get to know NC, you realize he's an incredibly humble guy. And so he's gonna leave out details of his story that make him look impressive. Like the fact that you said you went to grad school. When you graduated from grad school at Stanford, you know, after that, you went into the IT world for 5 years, but then you went back to Moss Burger, kind of starting in the kitchen. In fact, I think we have a picture of you, so there in the middle, working at Moss Burger back in those days, but then you quickly started to change positions. You went to like menu development, and then into marketing, and then into HR, operations, and then eventually chief operations officer, like you became the president of Moss Burger, the president of the second largest fast food chain behind McDonald's in all of Taiwan. So needless to say, you have a lot of corporate business experience, and you got to deal with, I'm sure, the complexities of working in a family business that way.
Being in family business or semi-family business has its pros. You know, you get appointed leadership roles much quicker. But at the same time, you know, the first 2 years, it was pretty difficult for me because I had to prove myself to everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just people out there who are just waiting and watching you to fail. And even if you do a good job, they take it for granted because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take over, right? Yeah. And then on top of that, then we have the family dynamics. So especially in family business, in family succession, that can really complicate things. And so for those of you out there who are in family business, my heart really goes out to you.
That's good. That's good. Okay, so Charles, let me dive into some of this because I think there's a burning question that some people, some of us would be wondering right now. So you're in this position of being the president of Mossberger, a position with lots of prestige, I know a high-paying salary, and you step out of that position to go into full-time ministry. And I think that for a lot of us, here's the thing to note. Charles is just a normal guy. You know, he lives in a normal house. He drives normal cars. You know, like, he's not pulling into the Blackhawk parking lot every day in a Lamborghini. You know, like, just a normal guy. And so I think for some of us, we'd be wondering, why do you give that position up?
So like a lot of my high school friends, they said they just cannot believe it. Wow, that's a good question, and it's going to be a long story, but I'll give you a very short version today. So as Anita and I, we were discussing and we were praying about this, that we really felt God prompting us to study theology. Mm. So every time we took a step in that direction, God confirmed it.
Yeah, I can actually resonate with that quite well. I know that for me and for Rachel, as we were looking at full-time ministry moving that direction, it was every time we took a step, it just seemed to be God confirmed it as we went. So, so another question that I think some people might be wondering, because you went from the corporate world into the ministry world, and I think that sometimes for people, they have this idea that a ministry position is kind of a higher calling. And what I mean by that is that God looks more favorably, you know, on people who step into being a pastor, working at a church, working within a ministry. Like in some way, they're favored a little bit more. It's more of a holy position. And then everyone else who works is just sort of an average person and average position, and God's fine with that. So what would you say to people who were thinking, well, if I want to make God happy, I need to step into step away from my normal job and step into a ministry job? What would you say to people who might be thinking that way?
Yeah, I get that. I used to think that, you know, so I used to think that, okay, if I want to please God with my work, then I should become a pastor or a missionary or, you know, go into a full-time job in some sort of full-time ministry. And then if I can't do that, one level down is there. So there's kind of like this hierarchy, and it would be working for a nonprofit or some sort of charity. And then if I still can't do that, one more level down, there's these service professions, right? The teachers, the doctors, and nurses. But if I still can't do that, I still have a chance. I get a normal job, but then I just serve really well at the church. I lead Bible studies, I do whatever I can.
But, and at least that will make God happy.
Right. But what I really want to tell everybody is that, it's not really about what you do. You can please God doing just what you're doing. So it's all about working for God.
Mm, yeah, that's good. And that actually is really the direction we're going to go for the remainder of this time, is taking a look at this idea of the work that God calls us to, and how to be able to do that with all our heart, really with an aspect of joy. So if you have your Bibles with you or whatever it is that you look at your Bible on, if you want to pull that out and turn to the book of Colossians right now, we're going to look at a passage of scripture together. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to be diving in. And if you don't have your Bible with you or something you look at it on, we're going to have it on the screens for you. We're actually going to begin with verse 23. Let me go ahead and read this for us. And whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
Yeah, so you see, I just love how that passage starts, right? Whatever you do. Mm. So it almost seems like it doesn't matter what you do. And so these instructions is for everyone.
Yeah, it really is true. I mean, this whole perspective, like, no one is excluded from this. And I mean, the work that we're called to doesn't always bring in a paycheck, yet God calls us all to this idea of work. And Charles, this is something you've studied for some time. This whole idea of work and faith is something that is close to your heart. As you were in seminary, you studied marketplace theology. And with your background within the corporate world, I know this is something that's dear to your heart. So my question for this, as we continue, is for us as Christ followers, how do we find joy within our work? What does that look like?
Okay, so what I would like to do is to go to the next part of the Colossians passage. So we should have a slide up there. So God tells us to work at it with all your heart. And I think there are many different ways we can do that. And the first thing is to find meaning and purpose in our work. So work is taking what God has given us and then making a contribution with it. So we offer our work to God. And what I mean by that is we offer the results, you know, the products, the results of our work to God. And then we share those results with people around us. So we contribute to the people around us or whoever comes in touch with the result of our work. So let's say if I'm a chef, right, then I get my raw materials from God. So all my food sources, they're from the earth. And the food sources already have the nutrients and the energy that is needed for survival. So we thank God for that. And then I cook the food, and then I offer it to God. And then I serve it, the food, to all the people around me. And then they benefit from the result of my work because they've been fed, right?
Yeah.
So that's the purpose of my work. So I help people prolong their lives from the sustenance that's provided in the meal. So what I've done in serving a dish is that I loved God, and then I loved my neighbors. I served God, and then I serve my neighbors. So the meaning of my work is no longer just washing, cutting, or heating up the food. It's serving God and others. So we have to be able to see that meaning and purpose. We have to see how we are imaging God through our work. So for the moms and dads out there, you're cooking meals for the family, you're imaging God because you are giving life. So it's the whole idea of working for the common good. God wants us to flourish, and we get to reflect him through our work. Mm. And we are imaging God while we are working. So we get to glorify him, and then with the product or the results of our work.
Mm. Yeah, I love that picture that you were giving of finding meaning and purpose. It takes us to a deeper level of the way that we look at the things that we've been called to do and the way that we image God through the work that we do. So what's another way that we can go about doing this? Working at something with all of our heart, finding joy within the work that God's placed in front of us.
Yeah, so personally, I think God wants us to foster this sense of creativity in our work. So think about this. In the first verse of the entire Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Mm. God created. God is a creator, right?
Yeah.
He is creative, and that's part of his nature, and he's always been creative. So we are created by him, by the creator, to be creative beings. We are meant to be creative beings. You know, nobody has to teach a child to be creative, right?
Yeah, that's actually so true. I mean, you think about it. You know, when we just had some kids over at our house this past week, we pulled out a box of Legos. And that's all we had to do. We didn't have to teach them how to create or be creative. They just went to town with the things in front of them.
Right, and they find joy in it, right? So we are really meant to be people who create. And in most jobs, even if it's just a small degree, I think there's always a place for creation, for innovation in our work. So no matter what our profession is, our work should be interesting. There should be play, there should be innovation, and there should be fun, it should be rewarding. But unfortunately, when sin entered the world, that really affected us. You know, God's integrated design of work and play was broken down. So that's why a lot of people are robbed of that creativity. So we want to try to recover some of that, you know, pleasure and fun. We want to foster this sense of creativity as much as we can. Yeah. So that's part of what we do as the people of God. So going back to the example of me being a chef, right? So it's not just about cutting and heating the food. I can be creative. I can have my own little twist of that dish and make it different and make it even taste better.
Yeah, so okay. So this idea of being creative with the work that we're called to, I don't think that always comes naturally to us. So what are ways that we can foster that kind of mindset? How do we move that direction?
Right, so we want to take ownership of our work. We want to see ourselves as artists or craftsmen. So we want to perfect our craft. We see our products and our services as art. So we make something beautiful out of it, and we see it as a form of expression. We express it to God, and we express it to other people. So for example, when I was at Mos Burger, I tried to take ownership of my work in terms of doing environmental stewardship. Mm. I tried to be creative about that. So we started to contract local farmers instead of relying on import or through middlemen, and then we guaranteed them the profit, and then we got to know them, we shook their hand, we visited them, and then we would be able to establish traceability for our food. So I think I have a picture of that, me in the lettuce field. So this is at one of the contract farms that we had back in Taiwan for our lettuce.
You need to wear that hat more often as well. So
okay, yeah.
So that was you, and this was an idea that you just came up with.
Yeah. So, but one of my better ways that I thought was more fun, where I showed more creativity, was in our menu development. And so I really challenged my team to really think outside of the box. I told them, just try to put anything into a burger. Yeah, because I really, and just try it, you know.
Anything.
Just anything, any kind of dish, okay? So I want, because I really wanted our customers to be able to try the different cuisines from all over the world, but at a very reasonable cost. So we came up with all sorts of ideas, my team. So we had some unusual burgers and sandwiches. So I have some of them up here. So we have like a French duck burger, a tandoori chicken burger, a Thai green curry burger, and then a truffle oil breakfast omelet sandwich. So these are just a few. There's so many, I can't name them all.
Okay, is anyone else just getting a little hungry right now? This was an idea that I had that I thought would have been so fun. I would have loved to have been able to turn right now and go, hey, and all of our sites and venues, as you walk out into the atrium, we have an all-you-can-eat Mos Burger buffet for everyone. That would have been amazing, but cost was a little high on getting everything over here.
Sorry about that.
Food on the brain. Okay, so that's amazing, the idea of you doing all of that, bringing that into your team, and that idea of fostering creativity is great. But that's more doable for some positions than others. There's some people who are supervisors, managers, higher ups within their work world, but there are other people who don't have that luxury quite as much. They don't have the ability to do that. Like, let's say that I am a factory worker on an assembly line. How do I create that type of an environment?
Yeah, so you might not be a very high-level decision maker, but you might, I think you always have some chance to find ways to do your work better or to do it with less cost or do it more efficiently. You know, there's always some room for improvement, and you can keep improving either the product or the service or the procedure that the process of doing that job. So, you know, like Japanese people, they are very serious about this. They have they're on a personal or like a whole corporate mission to continue to improve every single small step in the procedure.
Wow.
So they look at every small detail and they try to perfect it. So every procedure in a Japanese company, it's completely streamlined. And I think that itself is a craft. But of course, I understand, like you said, you know, in some jobs, there are some extreme cases where there might be close to 0 degree of freedom to make any changes. I understand that. And so that actually leads me to a third point that I would like to mention about finding joy, and that is being a faithful presence. And so in such cases, we can practice being a faithful presence, and we prayerfully do our work. And what I mean by that, to have a faithful presence, is that I'm not absent-minded. I'm there. I'm physically there, and I'm mentally there. And although I can't change anything, I'll still put in a good day of work.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of a story of someone who I know down in South Florida who worked as a surfboard shaper. And he started out, the thing that he did was basically just take foam planks and he would sand them down every day, same way, every single board, no creativity, nothing that he was doing. And what he told me he did was he would take a moment before every plank that he was going to sand, and he would pray for the person who eventually was going to own that board, just in order to bring meaning into what it was that he was doing. So I thought that was super creative as I heard of that.
Wow, that's a really good example. That's really good. But another aspect of faithful presence is the presence that we have for people. And you know what I think about, what I mean by that is to think about work in a broader aspect, not just to think about work as the work itself, the tasks that we have to do, but about all the other work-related aspects. And one huge aspect is people. Every team, every workplace, they need somebody who will make the team chemistry work, somebody who can make the team click. And you can be that person, and you can be there for people. You can be the peacemaker where there is conflict. You can be comforting people when there's in times of loss. You can encourage people when people are down. You can be that person who makes people, make every single person feel valued and cared for. So you can be that person. And I call that being a marketplace pastor. So faithful presence is representing God, as in like God's presence through you in your workplace. And so remember, we are imaging God through our work. And so it's in the whole team dynamics. It's in all of our interpersonal relationships. So every office, every factory, every lab, every restaurant, every school, whatever institution needs a marketplace pastor. Just like schools and the army and hospitals, they all have a chaplain, right? So God wants you to be that person, to be there and care for people in the workplace. And you don't need a theological degree to do that, right? Sometimes it's just being there for people, listening and walking alongside with them.
Yeah, that's so true. Sometimes I think that people, you could talk about being a marketplace pastor, and the picture that people would get in their heads is I have to carry my Bible everywhere with me. I need to, as I pass people, I need to stop, lay my hand on them, pray out loud for them in the moment. That's not what you're talking about at all.
No, that's right. So absolutely not. But what I mean is, you know, for example, for myself, I think through all my previous jobs, I think, you know, sometimes people just come to me with their personal circumstances. They come with their family tensions, they suffer the loss of a loved one, or whatever pain or suffering they're going through. And I learned that one of the best things that I could do for them is just listen and then just be there for them. So no matter what level you're at, you can be an entry-level person, you can be a senior executive, but you have the opportunity to practice that faithful presence and to just care for people.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so to summarize where we've been so far. So at whatever we do, work at it with all our heart by finding purpose and meaning within what we do, by fostering creativity, and by being a faithful presence. Those really good, really practical steps. Okay, but in reality, how do we stay motivated to do that? What are the steps that we take in order to have that be a part of our everyday lives?
Sure, so I think we really need to ask ourselves this very important question is, who am I doing this for? I remember 3 weeks ago, Pastor Chris, in the first sermon of the series, he mentioned that something that happened during the fall of mankind, right? So we turned our focus from being God-oriented and other-oriented to self-oriented.
Sure.
And that's something that we should really ask ourselves, is the question that, are we working to gratify ourselves and to elevate ourselves? Or are we working to benefit others and also to glorify and please God? So the next part of the Colossians passage says this, right? As working for the Lord. It says to do our work as we're working for the Lord. So last week, Pastor Matt Rustin, our guest speaker, came and he talked about being a priest. You know, in the Old Testament, the priests, they consecrated themselves for their priestly duties. They knew that everything that they did in the temple or the tabernacle was for God. Their meaning and purpose was crystal clear. Everything was for God. Every item in the tabernacle or the temple was consecrated. And the work that they did was consecrated. and they consecrated their own bodies. They did like ritual cleansing, and before they entered the tabernacle or the temple.
Yeah, let me pause there for just a minute. We're throwing around a really churchy word, consecrated. Consecrated is just simply a word meaning set apart, so sacred. You get this picture of, let's say that you have fine china that's been handed down from generation to generation in your family. That's something that's special. It's sacred. It's set apart. You're not going to have your dog eating out of one of those bowls or use it to like catch the oil as you're changing the oil in your car. No, it's set apart and special and sacred.
Yeah, so that's what it means, you know. It just means that the priests, they knew exactly what they're doing. They were doing it for God. That was very clear. And I know like terms like, priesthood, consecration, those are very Old Testament churchy terms, but the idea is actually much simpler than it sounds, okay? So it's doing what we do out of love. It's doing our jobs with the love for God.
Mm. Yeah, okay, so do you have an example of this?
Sure, so a personal example. I like art, I appreciate art. I like looking at good art from great artists like Van Gogh, like Pastor Chris does, but can I show you one of my favorite art pieces?
Sure.
I have it up here today. So, this was by my son, Kaysen, when he was 8 years old, and I have lots of artwork like this. I have a whole collection of these, you know. This is one of my favorites, but I have another one of my favorites as one that he drew when he was 4 years old, really much like this. He drew a really big mansion, and he brought it to me, and he said, "Look, Daddy," you know. And he was so excited to share with me that new drawing. And he showed me and he pointed, "This is Daddy and Mommy's room." You know, so my heart was so warm. You know, he gave me the best room in his house. And he drew it for me to make me so happy. And he happily shared his work with me. So I was really, really pleased. And so, you know, I keep these things. I keep all of these. I have lots of pieces like this, all kept in this metal cookie box. I store all the cards, all the notes, all the letters from my kids. That box is stored in a really safe place in Taiwan with my in-laws right now. And, you know, I'm going to keep that box for the rest of my life. I cherish that. So now, let me ask you, does that piece of art have a lot of aesthetic value? Does it have a lot of monetary value? Probably not. But it has tremendous emotional value to me. Right?
Yes.
Because my little child drew it for me. And he did it with all his heart. He wanted to please me. He did it especially to me. And it not only pleased me and warmed my heart, this means so much to me. It's really hard to measure the sentimental value in it. So I know for you, a lot of you parents out there, you probably have lots of similar artwork on your fridge too, right? Yeah. So people, I really want you to know that that's how God feels when we do our work for him. He is so pleased, and priesthood for us doesn't have to be very complicated at all. Before studying marketplace theology, I used to think priesthood, I just imagine these ancient Israelite people with big beards, and then they're in the temple, they're preparing sacrifices and offerings. Or if I think modern day, I think Catholic priests doing a lot of religious ceremonies and rituals and stuff like that. But now, I understand, even Kaysen at age 4, he was being a little priest to me. Yeah. And Eden and I, we gave him the raw materials, right? The color pencils, the paper. And he did some work with it. He created something good out of it. He did something beautiful in my eyes. He did it to make me happy. So that was his offering to me. That was what our priesthood to God means too, you know? So when we do our work out of love for God, for him, we can touch his heart. The Father's heart is very, very tender. I want everybody to know that. So I really want you to know that if you work for him with all your heart and you share your work with him and you want to let him know that you did it for him, he is really pleased. He is very proud of you and he cherishes it and he enjoys it and he has a place for it and he has a place for that too. So I really want you to know that your work can have eternal value.
Mm. I love that picture that you give us of the work that we do being something that God hangs on his fridge. So there's something awesome about that. Well, can we take a moment right now just to thank Charles, All Sites and Venues, just for being able to be here and share with us. This is so good. So good. And in just a moment, at all sites and all venues, we're going to send you back to those places to do something kind of special that we're actually going to do here in this room. If you're with us online, you're going to be a part of everything it is that we're doing. But before we transition to that, I'd love to take a minute to pray. And I have asked Charles if he would pray as well. So I will pray in English and Charles will pray in Mandarin. So would you pray with me right now? Lord God, we thank you so much for your love for us.
神啊, 感谢你对我们的爱。
Thank you for this chance to be together as your church.
感谢你让我们能够身为你的教会有聚在一起。
Thank you for this series that we have been in over these weeks.
谢谢你让我们能够有这整个系列。
Where we can take a look at your perspective on work.
让我们能够了解你对工作的看法。
Lord, you are a God who works.
你是做工的神。
And you've created us in your image to be workers as well.
你按照你的形象创造了我们，让我们工作。
Would you help us, Father, to be people who find your meaning in our work?
求你帮助我们找到你对我们工作的意义与目的。
We pray that you will be the one to guide us as your people to reflect you.
我们祈求你引导我们，在你赐给我们的工作中反映出你的形象。
In all of the work that you have given us.
在一切我们所做的事情上。
We pray all of these things in Jesus' name.
我们所求的一切都是奉耶稣基督的名。Amen. Amen.
Well, as we come to the end of our series on work, we thought a great way to conclude would be to encourage you in the work that you do. We've learned over the past of the series that no matter what we do, our work is valuable to God. It is valuable to our community. We can do it as worship. And so I'd like to invite you to participate in this little activity with me together. Over this next few minutes, I am going to say some categories of work that we all participate in. So when you hear a category of work that applies to what you do, whether that's paid or unpaid, I want to invite you to go ahead and stand right where you are and then remain standing. And at the end, we'll pray a blessing over you. And online, this includes you as well. Wherever you are, we invite you to stand as well. All right, so for those of you who work in business, whether that be the hospitality, the service sector jobs, whether you are a manager, a barista, an owner, a waitress, would you please stand right now? We want to thank you for the many needs that each one of you meet. We pray that you would be empowered by the Spirit to work justly with integrity and a commitment to excellence, and that you might continue to help our community flourish in all the ways that you serve us. All right, do you guys remain standing? And then joining them are caregivers. So if you care for others, whether that be a medical professional, a counselor, a social worker, whether you are a stay-at-home parent, or maybe you care for an aging parent, would you please stand right now? We want to thank you for your compassion and for your devotion, for your resilience, especially over these past couple of years. Man, it has been tough. Thank you for all the work that you've done. May your patience and your perseverance and your compassion give those you care for a glimpse of God's love for them. Next up are students. So if you are a student, if you are a researcher, if you are a scholar, would you please stand? Thank you for the ways that you pursue truth and knowledge and wisdom. We pray that you would be able to bring blessing to the world and to those around you as you continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom. May you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Next up are servers. So for those of you who serve others, whether that's through a government or a civil role, those of you who train or teach or coach, for those of you who are serving or volunteering, whether in a nonprofit setting or in a ministry setting, would you guys please stand? Thank you for giving of yourself to better the world around you. We pray that you would stay rooted in faith and in kindness as you lead and you equip and you protect and you advocate for those around you, knowing that what you do, it makes a difference in the world. Next up are creators. So for those of you who create, who design and maintain the world around us, whether you're an artist or you're a builder, maybe you're a fixer or a musician or a grower or a planner, would you please stand? Thank you for bringing order out of chaos, for bringing beauty and truth to light in ways that surprise and challenge us. We pray that your creativity and your craft would grow and develop and that you would continue to add beauty in order to this world. And finally, for those of you who are between jobs, maybe you're retired or maybe unable to work, or maybe your work is so cool that we just didn't even really think about it and it doesn't fit into one of these categories. So if that's you, would you please stand? Thank you for the multiple ways that each one of you serve. We pray that whatever you do, that you would all do it in the name of God as worship to him. All right, so for those of you, if you're able, everybody should be standing. And so as we conclude the series together, we want to commission you, which basically is a fancy word for just saying that we want to commit you or send you out with a purpose. And so as a body of Christ, we are commissioned to do everything that we do in the name of the Lord as worship to him. And so I would love just to pray for you all as we conclude this time together. And so God, we thank you so much for each and every person standing and sitting here in the room and online today. God, we thank you for the way that you have gifted them, God, the passions, the way that they see the world, the way that they create beauty in the world. And God, as we think about the way that we have, the things that we have learned over these past 3 weeks, Father, God, we pray that you would make us into a people who know that we are not robots, but God, that we are a people who are to rest and work, imaging you. And God, we pray that you would help each one of us, no matter where we're at, to find meaning in our work. I pray especially for those in the room and online today who might be feeling like, I hear you, but I'm struggling to find meaning and purpose. God, would you meet them in that? Would you show them the ways that you are using, the way that you are working through them to make the world a better place, to reflect who you are and the work that they do into those around them. And God, as we work in our day-to-day, God, would you empower us with your spirit, with generosity, with integrity, with goodness, with creativity, Father, would all that we do glorify you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray all of these things. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow.
This is a song that is familiar to all of us. I want to invite you now to sing along with us, to worship with us, to sing it big, sing it loud. For the God we serve is worthy. Let's sing together. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of every praise we could ever pray. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live you. Yeah. Jesus, the name above every other name. There is no other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live with you. We live with you. 'Cause you are holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and heal me. Lead me in your love. Those around me. Let us sing it again. Worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. You are there.
Worthy of
the
praise we could ever bring.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live.
Those around me,
holy, there is no one.
voice.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken.
Amen, you guys. So awesome, man. We serve a trustworthy and good God. What a great morning today. Well, you guys, even though our work series is over, our hope is that actually you would continue to explore how God wants to impact your work. And so our team of us, we have put together some resources on our website. You're going to see a QR code up there. Go ahead and you can just scan that with your phone. There's a list of podcasts, of books, of there's a liturgy on there. Just take a look. I just really encourage you to take one step as you continue to explore how God wants to meet you in your work. Actually, one of the events that you'll find on that page is actually an event that's coming up at the end of July at Upper House, which is where our downtown site meets. It's called Agents of Transformation. And so they're going to go deeper into some of the things that we've been talking about over the past 4 weeks. And actually, like, I think half of the speakers are from our very own Black Hawk community, different professionals in the workplace. So I encourage you to check that out. All right, well, as we go out of here for our benediction, you know, one of the things I loved is Pastor Charles talking about the opportunity that we have for faithful presence, right? To show up each day to our work and allow God to bring whoever or whatever into our path and just to be present, to be faithful, to image God in all that we do. And so along those lines, I'd love to read these words from the book of Hebrews chapter 13. So now may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You guys, thanks so much for worshiping with us today. I hope you'll join us next week. We're going to be starting out a series on the book of Psalms. And don't forget, on your way out, stop by the East Lawn, grab a treat, connect with somebody. We'd love to invite you out there. So, all right, have a good day.